Sukkah, Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph, 5:1. I had said in the previous recording that that Mishnah was the last Mishnah to expand upon the first Mishnah of the fourth Perek. That's actually incorrect. The beginning of our Mishnah here will wrap that up when it says Hachalil Chamisha Veshisha. The flute is on 5 or 6 days, so we'll explain that here. The topic of this Mishnah, really the first half of the chapter, the last chapter of Sukkah, is the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the rejoicing that went on, especially in Sukkot, in the Beis HaMikdash. The word Beis HaShoeva, meaning the place of drawing, according to Rashi, refers to the fact that this rejoicing is happening on the night before in celebration of the drawing of the waters and the special status of the Nisuch HaMayim, the water libation, that's offered as we discussed in the previous chapter. And therefore, the whole night ahead of time, they would do all sorts of celebrations, as the Mishnah will explain. According to Rambam, the special celebrations that happened in the Beis HaMikdash were a fulfillment of the general requirement of Usamachtem l'fnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yamim. You'll rejoice before Hashem 7 days. So this is part of that general mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov and the special Simcha of Sukkot. That's a fulfillment of it. And therefore, it's not to do with the drawing of the water at all. Rather, it's a rejoicing that happened in a place called the Beis HaShoeva, the place of drawing. That was a specific place where they conducted these celebrations, according to the Rambam. And it's called Beis HaShoeva, based on the Pasuk, which in Pasuk Nishai, which says, Usha'avtem Mayim B'Sason, you will draw the waters with special joy and rejoicing. He understands, based on that Pasuk, this area of the Beis HaMikdash got the name called Beis HaShoeva. According to Rashi's understanding, however, it would be simply that the pasuk itself, Usha'avtem Mayim B'Sason, drawing the waters and rejoicing, is what it obligates the special simcha of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the celebration that happened, and not just the generic mitzvah to celebrate. So a bit of machlokas there. At all events, the Yerushalmi has a totally different understanding, which is really fascinating. He says, Shoeva means to draw, like to suck, to pull. And the Yerushalmi says it's because the people who were there were Shoavim Ruach HaKodesh. They imbibed, drew into themselves Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, being surrounded by the Beis HaMikdash and all the tzaddikim, etc. And part of really connecting to Ruach HaKodesh requires Simcha, is brought down in many places. And that being the case, this was a special opportunity to get especially inspired, and that was part and parcel of the rejoicing that happened, says the Yerushalmi. At all events, the Mishnah says here, Hechalil Chamisha Veshisha, the flute happened on the 5 or 6 days out of the Yom Tov. Now, when we say Chalil, we're talking about a flute, but the truth is that they played all sorts of instruments. It's just that the flute was the most, like, loudest, the most prominent of them. Zeu HaChalil Shel Beis HaShoeva. We're talking here about the flute of the Beis HaShoeva, of the place of drawing in, as explained before, different pshatim. She'enu Docha Loas HaShabbos V'Loas HaYom Tov. And blowing a flute and other instruments won't push off the prohibition of playing musical instruments that exists midr rabbanan on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's a din d'rabbanan, it's just a shvus, meaning rabbinic, that one may not play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yom Tov lest he come to fix it, if it goes out of tune or breaks, and if he fixes it, that can be already a d'oraisa. Therefore, you have this prohibition against playing it. Now, normally the rule is that ein shvus b'mikdash, that these rabbinic protections around Shabbos and Yom Tov don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. People are more mindful, quantum is reason, the Sanhedrin is present, and the Beis HaMikdash will trump that. However, that rule of Ein Shavus B'Mikdash, we don't apply where it's not something essential to the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. So in the case of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, blowing of the flute is something that's sort of ancillary to the essential avoda. It's part of the fun and rejoicing, but it's not actually part of the temple service. And therefore, it wouldn't be allowed on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That being the case, the calculation goes as follows. You can figure out from the previous Mishnahs, similar calculations. If Yom Tov and Shabbos fall out on the same day, meaning the first day of Yom Tov is a Shabbos, so then you won't play flute on that day, but you have 6 more days the rest of the week, Sunday to Friday, where you could play the musical instruments, including the flute, so you'd have 6 days. If the first day of Yom Tov is not a Shabbos, you'll have both the first day of Yom Tov, where you don't play the flute, as well as 1 day during the middle of Chol HaMoed, which is Shabbos, you wouldn't play, so that knocks out 2 of the 7, you're left with 5. Okay. Amru. Our rabbi said, Kol mishlo ra simchas besa shoeva, anyone who never saw the rejoicing that happens, either in the Beis HaShoeva, according to Rambam, or around the events of the drawing of the water, lo ra simcha miyamav, he hasn't seen like a complete rejoicing in his life. The reason why is because the rejoicing and celebrations and joy that happened were so extraordinary, as the Mishnahs will come to explain, that anything else pales in comparison. Sukkah Perikei Mishnah Beis 5-2, and now the next few Mishnahs will discuss what went on in the Beis HaMikdash during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The Mishnah says, B'motzi Yom Tov Harishon Shel HaChag, on the Motzi Yom Tov, after the first day of Sukkot passed, so that first night, and this will go on, as we said before, every night of Sukkot during Chol HaMoed. The truth is, the celebrations of Simchas Beis HaShoeva begin, besides the first night, late afternoon, after the Talmud Shel Ben Harabayim is offered. And here's what happened. Yardu LeEzras Nashim, on that first night, they went down to the Ezras Nashim, that is to say, the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara, the main courtyard, which has the special elevated sanctity, the Kedusha, that's an area that's essentially 187 amos wide, running from east to west, and it included all the structures, the Mizbeach, the altar, and the actual sanctuary itself, the Ulam, Kodesh, Kodesh Kedushim, etc. But that's the Azara. There's another structure immediately to the east of it called the Ezras Nashim. That's 135 by 135 amos. And then actually, although it's contiguous with and like within the walls of the larger temple complex, it doesn't have the Kedusha that the Azara does. It has the same kind of Kedusha that the Har HaBayis does. In general, that's like the Machon Leviyah, parallels like the Levites' camp around the Mishkan. And it was going to be in there, in the Ezras Nashim, that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva celebrations happened. Now, it's called Ezras Nashim, not because it's only for women as opposed to men. Everyone came in that way, men and women alike. But typically, women would not go beyond the Ezras Nashim under normal circumstances, unless they had a korban to bring, whatever it is. And men, would go a few, like 11 almost deeper in, to what's called the Ezras Yisrael, the beginning of the Azara proper. In any case, since the Ezras Nashim had less Kedusha, that's where the action happened on Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And the Mishnah says they went down Yardu because the elevation of the Azara proper is higher than the Ezras Nashim. So you'd have to go down 15 steps, those famous 15 steps that separate between the two Azaros. And there they went, Umesaknin Sham Tikun Gadol. And there they repaired, literally repaired, a great repair. That is to say, originally, once upon a time, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva happened on the floor of the Ezras Nashim, and there were men and women there. But the Chazal saw that the men were looking at the women, and things were getting a little out of hand in terms of frivolity. And therefore, every sukkah, at the beginning, they would build balconies around the Ezras Nashim so that women could be up on the balconies looking down and watching the men doing the various celebrations and tomfoolery that went on in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But the men wouldn't be looking at the women because they are sort of elevated off the ground, and that was separating them. So it's referred to here as a tikkun gadol, a great tikkun, or fixing. Like every takana, there's always unintended consequences and negative things perhaps, but this certainly remedied the issue of the kalas rosh, the necessary frivolity that happened between the men and women when the women were mixed up with the men down below, even if not, yeah, okay. Now, Umenorah Shel Zav Hayusham, there were these golden candelabras that were in the Ezras Nashim. In fact, there were four of them, presumably, that's how most learn. It doesn't say explicitly here. V'arba Sfalim Shel Zahav B'roshen, and there were four bowls for oil, golden bowls, atop each of the menorahs. Now, it's brought down that these menorahs were 50 amos high. The Tiferes Yisrael says, not that the menorah itself was like had a stalk, like a pole of 50 amos. That would be unlikely. Rather, what happens is they were on sort of like on platforms, elevated platforms. And on top of these elevated platforms, there were these menorahs. And the top of the menorah, if you will, where the golden bowls were, that was 50 amos above the ground below of the Ezras Nashim. V'arba sulamos l'chol echad v'echad, and there was four ladders adjutting each of the menorahs, the candelabras, so that there was a ladder leading up to each of the four bowls, in other words, on each of the candelabras. V'arba yiladim pirchei kahuna, there were, to ascend and fill up the bowls to give it the oil, there would be four young pirchei kahuna, teenage kohanim. Pirchei kahuna, the word porech means like a flower, as a perach, because they just started to sprout their beards, so they're like teenagers, in other words. Others point out that it's a little redundant to say both they were yeladim, young, and pirchei kahuna. So they explain that they're not just young, but also their acts and their persons were beautiful, like prachim, like flowers. Ubiyadeim kadim shel shemen, and they would carry the jugs of oil up to fill up the bowls on top of the menorahs. Shel mea ve'esrim lug, and each menorah in total, meaning the combination of the four bowls together, would add up to 120 lug of oil, meaning each individual bowl contained 30 lug of oil. Since a lug is roughly half a liter, give or take, 30 lug is 15 liters, give or take, which is like 15 kilos, give or take, which is like 20, whatever, call it 30 pounds, give or take. So it's a lot of weight. And the Gemara makes a big emphasis that these Kohen Ravs are very strong to climb way up in the sky, carrying these like massive jugs of oil. And Shem Metil l'chol seifel v'seifel, that they would pour into each of the bowls. Now there's a question: if there's a total of 120 amongst the four, why don't we say each child brought up 30? Why does it say that they brought up 120 together? So the Tos Yom Tov says we want to make an allusion here to Moshe Rabbeinu, who lived 120 years, and it's his Torah which lights up our world in every generation, and therefore there's a 120 reference there. Sukkah, Perkei, Mishnah Gimel, and another describing these menorahs that lit up the Ezra's Nashim for the Simchas Pesach Shoeva. The Marsha points out that adding a lot of light adds to the Simcha, and therefore you'll see that we made an effort to make these monstrous candelabras that provide incredible amounts of light. Now, we talked about the bowls and the oil. What about the wicks? Miblai michnasei kohanim, from the worn-out trousers of the kohanim, umehem yanehen, and also from their sashes that were worn out, mehen hayu mafkien, they would tear those up and turn them into wicks, massive wicks. Now, you recall, of course, that the Kohanim had four, regular Kohanim had four vestments, the ketonis, the avnet, which is the sash, migbat, and the michnasayim. So the michnasayim, the trousers, like they're kind of boxer shorts, if you will, that went under the ketonis, which is like the tunic, and the megbat went on their head, the avnet, the sash, went around their waist. So we're saying here, the under garment, and the sash, those were, when they wore out, couldn't do anything with them anymore, because they can't be served in, because they're worn out. Because they're purchased with communal money, and served as part of the avod in the base of Mikdash, you can't just throw them away or use them for some chulin profane purpose, and therefore, a great use for them was to make them into wicks, because then you essentially, the Simchas Beis Shoeva is like an adjunct to the Nisach HaMayim Avodah, and therefore it's sort of like an adjunct to the Avodah that's done in the Beis Mikdash, and a great way to use them up. So they tore them up, made them into wicks. Uvehen hayu madlikin, and there they lit those. V'lo haisa chatzir b'yushalayim she'enu ma'ira me'or Beis HaShoeva. And the Mishnah says here, there was so much light that was let out from these candelabrum, especially since each candelabrum was so high, so every like chatzer, you know, like backyard in Jerusalem, was lit up by the light of the menorahs. Again, remember the Har Bais is high up, the menorahs are higher yet, and they were these massive bowls with massive wicks, with massive amounts of oil, and therefore a huge amount of light was lit off to let everything be lit up and adding to the joyous ambiance of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Sukkah Perek He, Mishnah Dalad 5-4. And now the Mishnah will give more color on what happened during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Now, the Rambam says in Hilchos Lulav and Perek Ches at the end there, Halach Yudalad, he says, B'Simchas Beis HaShoeva, at the celebrations, lo hayu manichin l'amei ha'aretz, o l'chol mi sheyirtza b'kach lirkod v'lesameach. They didn't let just anybody who wanted to dance and make merry, because the concern was that people would lapse into kalus rosh, like frivolity, instead of understanding what they're doing here as part of their real proper avoda. And therefore, ele gedolei chachamei Yisrael, it was just the greatest of the wise men of the Jewish people, uroshei ha-yeshivos, the heads of the yeshivas, v'ha-sanhedrin, v'ha-chasidim, the members of the Sanhedrin, and other people noteworthy for their piousness, v'zakenim, and elders, v'anshei mas, and other people, tupshatun anshei maise. The Bartunura says in Sota, these are people who are like were miracle workers. Tefer Yisrael here in our Mishnah says that they were, Gedolei Yisrael, who were just the leader of the Jewish people. So they would be the ones. Heim shahayu roktin, they're the ones who would dance. Umisamchin b'mikdash b'mei chag ha-sukkos, and they're the ones who would make merry in the base of Mikdash during the Sukkot holiday. Aval shar kol ha'am, everybody else, ha'anashim v'anashim, both men and women, hayu ba'in, they would come, k'dei liraos v'lishmoa, to watch them and to hear what they had to say. So the Mishnah begins, says, chasidim v'anshei ma'isa. Chasidim, again, people that are sort of go above and beyond the letter of the law. They're more than a tzaddik. They do more than that's required. Tzaddik does nothing wrong. Chasid is more than that. Anshei ma'isa, again, miracle workers or gedolei hador. Hayimurakten lifnehem. They would dance before them. So the them that we don't define is the them that the Rambam talks about, the all the men and women who come to watch and listen. Ba'avukos shel ur shebigadein. And these people, the chasidim anshei ma'isa, would dance, and they would have torches in their hands, and some of them would juggle, even four torches, and as many as eight torches they would juggle. Marsha again brings extra light, brings extra simcha. Va'omrim lifnehen difrei shiras v'sishbachos. And they would say, before all the people gathered, words of shiros, songs of tishbachos, and praise to Hashem. The Gemara brings in a brisa there in Gimel, it says that the chasidim and anshei ma'isa, who had always been that way, they would say ashrei yalduseinu shlo bisha es or bisha es siknuseinu. Fortunate are we that our actions from our youth don't embarrass us in our old age. And the Bali Tshuva would say, Ashrei Zikenuso, we're fortunate in our old age, Shekipra al Yalduseinu, that it atones our Bida Tshuva, and it atones for our youth when we weren't of this Madrega, this level. And everyone would say, Ashrei Mishlo Chata, fortunate is the one who didn't sin, Umisha Chata, and whoever did sin, Yashuv B'Tshuva V'Yimchalo, he should return to Hashem, do tshuva, and Hashem will forgive him. This was the content, the theme of the kinds of things they were singing at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Now, v'levim b'kinoros uv'nevalim v'mitzaltayim uv'chatzotzrotz v'chlishir b'lo mispar. The levim, who were the ones in charge of singing and playing music, who normally would do that by the karbonos and the duchen in the next to the Mizbeach in the Azara proper, here we'll see they're going to be doing it in the Ezuz Nashim. So they would play their instruments. Kinoros and Nevalim are string instruments. One is like a harp or something like that, and one is like a violin type thing, string instruments. Uva Mitzaltayim, these are kind of like cymbals, you know, percussion instruments. Uva Chatzotzrotz, these are like trumpets, you know, wind instruments. Uvachlishir below Mizpar, and countless other instruments. Of course, that's a guzma, that's an exaggeration. There was a number, but the point is, unlike other procedures that happened inside the Beis Milish where the number of instruments were specified, in particular here, it was not a particular amount. Lots of levim were coming, and whoever could play was playing. It's noteworthy that the chalil, the flute's not mentioned here, since remember the beginning of the parak, sort of the focal point was the chalil, the flute, which is sort of the pronounced instrument. The Rambam actually in his the Yad, he also enumerates the chalil amongst the instruments explicitly. But in any case, there was certainly were flutes playing as well. Al chamesh esre malos, they would stand on the 15 steps, hayordos me'ezras Yisrael le'ezras nashim. On those 15 steps that led from the Ezras Yisrael, I told you those are like the first 11 amos into the Azara, and then down those steps, 15 steps would lead you into the, they were in the Ezras Nashim itself. So they stood on the top of the steps, and those 15 steps were 15 because keneged chamisha sar shir hamalos shebet Tehillim. Their 15 was to parallel the 15 chapters of Tehillim that starts from Kuf Chaf 120 to Kuf Lama Dalet 134. All those 15 chapters of Tehillim start with the phrase shir hamalos or shir lamalos. So there are 15 of them. So the songs of ascent, if you will, and there are 15 steps to parallel those. And they would play music over there. Now, there's like a new paragraph happening. Our mission continues on, but now we're segueing away from the activities that happened throughout the nighttime and what happened in the morning when they now would go out, ending their Simchas Beis Shreva celebrations, and now actually leaving the Beis HaMikdash to go to the Shiluach, to get to the spring, to get the water for the actual Nisach HaMayim, the water libation. So, the Mishnah says, Va'amdu shnei kohanim b'shar elyon. There were two kohanim who stood at the upper gate. The upper gate here means the gate that leads from the Ezras Nashim into the Ezras Yisrael. That's also known as Shar Nicanor, the famous bronze gate that was part of a miracle, as the story goes in the Maseches Yoma. So they would stand at the top there. It's called the upper gate because it's 15 steps above the Ezras Nashim down below, over here. So that Shar Elyon Sheyored Me'ezras Yisrael Ezras Nashim Ushtei Chatzotzrot B'yadehen, and they had two trumpets in their hands. Kara HaGever, when the, now two pshatim, the Gever, what the who or what the Gever is, says the Gemara, either the Gever is referring to the rooster, when the rooster now crows, it's dawn coming and they're going to go out now to go get the water. Others than the Gever, it means the man, this is the crows, the person who's in charge of like the vek, or the waking everybody up, and he would stand up and he would say, "Am de kohanim levodaschem, kohanim, get up now to do your service. Uleviim leduchnechem, and you know, leviim, get onto the platform to play your music. V'Yisrael lemamadachem, and the everyone else, the other Jews, the mamados who are there, we learn in Maseches Tainus about that participate along, representing the rest of Klal Yisrael, the third of Klal Yisrael, they'd also be there, so they should get up now to do their thing." And after that, either the rooster calling them, if you will, or the crows, the announcer, the Kohen, makes his announcement. So then, taku v'heriu v'taku. They would blow the trumpets to sort of announce that now we're leaving and heading out to go get the water. Whenever they blow the trumpets, more about that in the next Mishnah, they would do a takia, a long blast, then a trua, the short blast. That's the machlokus, if it's 3 or 9, whatever. The taku, and then another long blast. So a long blast, then a broken, then a long again. Those three, they would do that to announce we're leaving. And then they would start now, everyone, the kohanim would walk down the stairs towards, those 15 stairs, towards the Ezras Nashim. But halfway down, higiu lamala hasiris. When they got to the 10th step, it's a machlokus in the Gemara that's unresolved, whether it mean 10th from the top or 10th from the bottom. I mean, they went down 5 or went down 10. At that point, again, taku v'riu v'taku, once again, they would blow the trumpets, the same one long, then broken, then a long one again. And then higiu la'azara, when they got to the bottom, azara here means the Ezras Nashim, the women's courtyard, that 135 area where they were doing the Simchas Beis Shoeva. Again, taku v'riu v'taku, they blew the trumpets again, the same way, long, broken, and then long again. But here they did it, they persisted as they traversed the Ezras Nashim. As the Mishnah says, Hayu Token V'Holchin, they would blow as they walked, Ad Shemegi in the Shar HaYotze LeMizrach, until they got to the Shar HaYotze Mizrach, to the gate that exits the east. Remember, in the western far side, let's call it, is like the Kadosh HaKadoshim, and then you move from west towards east, you would leave the Azara, then ultimately leave the Ezras Nashim. That's what's happening here, they're leaving the Azara. Now they walked further west as through the Ezras Nashim to the gate leading out further east onto the Har HaBayis. Now, if you would be, there's something that looks a little funny over here, in as much as if you're leaving the Beis HaMikdash, you're back to the, you know, the Heichal, and so it looks it could look strange, like you've got your back to the back to Hashem, so to speak, and you're facing towards the east, which is where the sun rises from. So it looks almost like they're going, leaving Hashem, God forbid, to go bow down to the sun. And therefore, havchu paneim lamariv, they turn their faces back westward. Va'amru, and they said, avoseinu shehayu b'makom hazeh, our ancestors, meaning in Bais Rishon time, they would, they had their backs el heichal Hashem, to God's sanctuary. Ufanehem kedma, and their faces towards the east. Vehema mishtachvim kedma l'shemesh, and they would bow down, prosh themselves to the sun that rises in the east. This is basically sort of like a based on a pasuk in Yechezkel, perk ches pasuk tezayin, 8:16. So it was, they did that, but not us. Va'anu l'ka einenu, our eyes are only towards Hashem. Ka yod and a hey, name of Hashem, declaring explicitly that we're not leaving Hashem. God forbid, we're all eyes, so to speak, are on Hashem figuratively. As we go now through the avodah, getting the water. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they didn't say that. They actually hayushonin. They actually like said it twice. Va'omrim anu laka laka einenu. We are to Hashem, and Hashem towards Hashem is our eyes. The Gemara actually says that that's not exactly what they said. What Rabbi Yehuda meant is they said in this, they repeated Shem Hashem twice, and they would say, "Anu laka mishtachavim umodim." We bow down and thank Hashem. Ulaka, and to Hashem, einenu miachlos, our eyes long. The point is that they would both thank Hashem for all the chasarim had done to them up to now, meaning focusing on the past. That's the mishtachim modim, thanking Hashem for the past, and then anticipating Hashem to do good by them in the future. Einenu miachlos l'Hashem, they would, their eyes looking forward to Hashem, anticipating and beseeching Hashem to do well by them in the future. And that's the repetition of the Shem Hashem twice in this context. Psukah Perek Hey Mishnah Hey 5:5. In the previous Mishnah, we had talked about the blowing of the trumpets that accompanied the water libations. So now this Mishnah will transition to talking about the general mitzvah of blowing trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash. There is certain blowings that happen in the Beis HaMikdash, which are actually mitzvahs d'orais, and others that are just mitzvahs d'rabban, as I'll enumerate as we go along. There is a basic obligation to have two silver trumpets, as the pasuk says, "Aselecha shtei chatzrotzros katzef," make yourself two silver trumpets. And in the function of the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to be blown by the Kohanim, as the pasuk says, "Uvnei Aharon ha-Kohanim yisku b'chatzotzros." It's the Kohanim, the children of Aaron, who will be blowing the shofar, the trumpets, I should say. Now, there's a machlokas rishonim regarding whether or not, when these trumpets are blown, if there's also an accompanying shofar blast. So according to the Rambam and the Rif, yes indeed. Every time the trumpets are blown, so is the shofar. Just the trumpets are the mitzvah, and they're sort of the more prominent, and will last longer, and be more prominent in the blowing. But there's shofar as well. Tosfos learns, no, when these trumpets are being blown, it's just the trumpet, and the trumpet accompanied with the shofar is limited to other scenarios like at the time of war. In any case, our mission here is going to enumerate the number of times that the trumpets are blown on a given day in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, each set of blowings of the trumpets are going to be in sets of three. There'll be a tekia, a trua, and a tekia. Tekia, the long blast, trua, either the three or nine, like we have as our trua or shvarim in the blowings on Rosh Hashanah, similar to that, but it's broken into pieces, and then again a long trua, one single long blast. So they'll usually go in sets of threes. So we're going to say, ein pochasin me'esrim va'achas tekios b'mikdash. There were never fewer than 21 blasts of the trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash. That will mean seven sets of three, each set being a tekia, trua, tekia. Vein mosifin al arba'im mushmona, and there were never more than 48 blasts. By the end of the Mishnah, we will enumerate the 48 blasts, when that could happen. As we'll see, it's happening during Chol HaMoed on Erev Shabbos of Sukkot. The truth is, the Gemara raised the issue, which is a side point, that on Pesach, there's a number of extra trumpet blasts, many trumpet blasts that are accompanying the bringing of the Korban Pesach. Each of the three kitos, the groups that are blowing the Korban Pesach, are going to be singing a song and blowing trumpets. And there could be three sets of three that happen for each of the three kitos, but that adds extra 27 potentially. So you can actually get to 57 on Pesach, on Erev Pesach itself, if that falls out on Erev Shabbos. But the Mishnah doesn't consider that, putting it aside, because that's a very infrequent occurrence. So our Mishnah will ignore that one case and focus more on the regular days, and then building up to a total of 48, which could happen on Sukkot, on Erev Shabbos. Okay, here we go. So the Mishnah says now, B'chol yom, on every day, Hayusham esrim va'achas tekiyos b'mikdash. There were 21, at a minimum, on a regular day, 21 blasts of the trumpets. Shalosh lefsichas sharim, three trumpet blasts that were sounded at the opening of the gates. That's the very beginning of each day, when the Beis Hamikdash opens for business. So as part of the ceremony of opening the gates to initiate the beginning of the Avodas Hayom, there were three trumpet blasts. That is just a mitzvah derabban. There's no mitzvah in the Torah to announce the beginning of a work in the Beis Hamikdash with the trumpets. In addition, you had Utesha L'Tamid Shel Shachar. You had another nine blasts that accompanied the Tamid Shel Shachar, the daily offering that was brought, one of the two daily offerings that are brought, this in the morning. So after the Tamid Shel Shachar, which is an Ola, a burnt offering, is brought, the first Korban of the day, so then there would be Nesachim that accompany it, wine libations, as that accompany every Ola, every totally burnt offering. But when it comes to Tamid Shel Shachar, like the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim in truth, like the afternoon offering, daily offering, there is a wine libation is accompanied with the Shir Shel Yom, the singing and musical instruments of the Levim, and that daily Shir Shel Yom, the very same chapter of Tehillim that we say in Shul of the Davening every day. So while that was being said, it was divided into thirds, three parts, and at each of the three parts, at the beginning there was also a set of three trumpet blasts, and the people who were there and the Am would bow down at that time. So you have a total of nine, because three sets of three for each of the three parts of the recitation of the Shir Shel Yom during the wine libation of the Tamid Shel Shachar. And similarly, Uteisha, the Tamid Shel Ben Harabim, and nine more for the afternoon daily offering, which is done in the exact same way. When the wine was poured, divided into thirds, each group of three times of the song being sung, they would have three blasts, tekiah, truah, and tekiah, of the trumpets. So you have three at the opening of the day, opening the gates, nine of the Tamid Shel Shachar, nine of the Tamid Shel Ben Harabim, for a total of 21. That's on a regular day, and that's on every single day, kind of no matter what. Okay, now the blowing of the trumpets that accompany the Tamidin is actually a mitzvah min HaTorah. The Pasuk says, Uvyom simchaschem, umodeichem, roshei chadsheichem, Uskatim b'chatzrotzros al aloseichem v'al zivchei shalmeichem v'hayu lachem l'zikron lifnei elokeichem ani Hashem elokeichem. The Pasuk says you'll blow trumpets that accompany all the various offerings of your special days. Truth is, there's no mention there of the daily Tamidin, but Chazal understand this Pasuk comes to tell that every time you have a korban tzibur, a communal offering that's done in that's kavu, that's a fixed one, it is accompanied with the trumpet blasts. However, the required number of blasts would be just three, not nine. So three of them are in HaTorah, the other additional six that are added to it are Madura Bunnan. So in any case, so you fill the mitzvah, and it's done, like I said, with these silver trumpets by the Kohanim. And with the Durabanans, we get a total of 9 plus 9 plus 3, or 21, each and every day at a minimum. In addition, Uvumusafin hayu mosifin od tesha. If there were additional offerings to be brought, again, korbanos tzibur, communal offerings that are brought that were to accompany a special day. When I say special day, I mean Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, including Chol HaMoed, Sukkot, including Chol HaMoed, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. On those days, there were extra korbanos called musafin, additional offerings brought. And with the musafin, also there were blasts of the trumpet for a total of nine. Again, three sets of three. These three sets of three that accompany the musafin are always a total of nine blasts, regardless of how many musafin are being brought. Even if you have, let's say, for argument's sake, Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, so Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, you'd have the Shabbos Musaf, you'd have the Rosh Hashanah Musaf, and you'd even have the Rosh Chodesh Musaf, but all those still are accompanied by a total of just 9 blasts of the trumpets. Again, those blasts are fulfillment of the Pasuk I just read to you before, for Midbar, you know, Perek Yud Pasuk Yud, and therefore, again, with the silver trumpets by the Kohanim. So those are 9 more Musafin, so every day is 21, but if you have a special day, quote-unquote special day, like a Rosh Chodesh, etc., you would have a total of 21 plus 9, or 30. Now, Uva Erev Shabbos, on every Erev Shabbos of the year, Friday afternoon, Tayo Mosifin Od Sheish, there were 6 more blasts, meaning 2 sets of 3. The first 3 are Shalosh Lahavdil Ha'am Malacha, Vushalosh Lahavdil Bein Kodesh Lachol. The first 3 of the 6 were to literally get the people to stop working, and the second set of 3 were to now put people on notice that Friday is over and Shabbos has begun. So now we're going to speak this out. Now, what's interesting, just as a side point, but an important one, is these 6 blasts that put people on notice about the coming of Shabbos and the onset of Shabbos actually were blasted in every Jewish city. The Rambam says even in Bavel they did it, and so on. Nowadays, I'm not sure which Jewish cities do and don't. I know in Ramat Beit Shemesh and Yerushalayim, certainly you hear the sirens going off. In Ramat Beit Shemesh, we actually have, like, they play music over the loudspeakers, like a whatever it is, Jewish music. Put people on notice. They played, I think, 15 minutes before candle lighting, and then at candle lighting, they played the sirens so that people know. That's a hearkening back to the scenario described in our Mishnah here. In any case, the time of the Mishnah, they used actual trumpets, and they did in all Jewish cities. And an amazing thing, we're going to talk here about what went on in the Beis HaMikdash, the place where they would blow that trumpet in the Beis HaMikdash has actually been identified. And in fact, the cornerstone piece where that marked this is the place for the blasting of the shofar and the trumpets actually has been found. Maybe I'll, if I remember, I'll send a picture of that, which is remarkable. In any case, so on Erev Shabbos, they had these extra 6, the first 3 to stop work, put them on notice to stop working, and the second 3 to tell people Shabbos has begun. Here we say in detail, Erev Shabbos, Shebesochach, it doesn't enumerate, let me enumerate, sorry. So of those first 3 to stop people from working, the first 1 of the 3 is sounded just at Tekiah, and that tells people that are working in the fields at a distance from home, time to stop working outdoors and come in for Shabbos. The second one, which was a trua, so the trua sound was to tell people who are working in the city to now close up shop and come home, Shabbos is going. And the third one, a tekiah again, was to tell people Shabbos is about to be here, you just have a couple minutes left, and therefore take your food off the fire and put it into its insulation, do your last minute food prep, and light your Shabbos candles. And then, a couple minutes later, just enough time to roast a fish, like a thin fish, or to do a quick muffin in the, whatever, pita in the oven, one last minute, a couple minutes later, they would have 3 blasts to tell people now that was the onset of Shabbos proper, meaning from that point onwards, if one did malacha even a little bit, so to speak, quote-unquote, that would be a chilul Shabbos. Now, so that gives us 6 more, which means on any day which also had musafin in the morning and had was Erev Shabbos, you'd have a total of 36, 21 for the regular day, plus 9 for the Musaf, plus 6 for the Erev Shabbos, gives you 36. We're going to add an extra 4 sets of 3, meaning an extra 12, bring us from 36 to 48. That happens during Sukkos, if it's also an Erev Shabbos, because, and remember, every day of Sukkos has the special Musafin. Here we go, the Mishnah says, Erev Shabbos Shebesoch HaChag, if during the Sukkos holiday you have an Erev Shabbos, on that day, Hayisham Arba'im Ushmona, you'll have a total of 48. And here's the count. First of all, you have Shalosh L'Psichas Sharim. The same 3 we enumerated at the beginning of the Mishnah, we're saying again here, the 3 that are blasted at the opening of the gates that commence the day on this Friday morning, Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Then, in addition, you have Shalosh L'Shar Elyon, the 3 trumpet blasts that were announced when they were now heading out to go and get the water for the water libation. Shar Elyon, that was Shar Nicanor, the upper gate that separates between the Azara, or the Ezra's Yisrael, really, and Ezra's Nashim. And then, V'shalosh, the Shar Tachton, you have three more that are going to be blasted at the lower gate. This means when, in the previous mission, we said, Higiula Azara, when they got to the Azara, whether that was Erz Nashim, so then Tiku, Vahiru, Vatiku, those are the three we're talking about right now, Vahitokin, Vaholchin, Achim, Megin, the Shahar, Yot, the Mizrach, and they would blast until they got to the gate that exits to the east, leaving the Ezra's Nashim. So we're talking about that. Those are those three. If you're keeping track, in the previous mission, we had another set of three, and those were that we skipped. And those are the three that were blasted as they came down from the upper gate and walked to the 10th step. Machlokas, 10 steps down out of 15, or on the 5 steps down out of 15 and 10 more to go. But anyways, our Tana here does not agree that there were blowing of trumpets while the Kohanim were standing on those steps. Our Mishnah here goes like the Shita of Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, who disagrees with the previous Mishnah, and therefore there'll be no trumpet blasting going on those steps. Now, the Mishnah continues on and says, Vishalosh lemili hamayim, and three more for the filling of the water. This is referring to when they came back from the filling of the water, from the Mei Shiloach, the Shiloach spring there, pool. They would come back through the water gate, we called it, Higil Shar Hamayim. As we said, this is now referring back to the Mishnah we had in the fourth parak Mishnah test. When they came back to Shar Hamayim, Tiku Veriva Tiku, they would blow three more blasts there. So that's these three more, bringing us to nine special ones on Sukkos. And finally, V'shalosh al gabi mizbeach, and three more upon the altar. This is referring to when they stood up those aravos, those very large willow branches, and draped them over the mizbeach. So when they put those up, there are also three blasts of the trumpets done. So that would give you, that's every day of Sukkos again, so that gives you a total of 4 times 3, or 12 extra for Sukkos. Opening the upper gate, opening the lower gate in the Azara, the returning through the Shar Mayim of bringing the water, and finally the draping of the large morbios, the large aravos over the altar. So that's 12. Now, if you hold that there was, the Shita who holds that there was an extra set of three done while the Kohanim were standing on the stairs coming down from the Shar Nikon or the upper gate, he holds that they did not blow the three when they were draping over the larger ravos on the Mizbeach, so they're also, that sheet also is limited to 48 total. Our Mishnah continues on by just adding up the rest of the regular blasts of every day to get you to 48. So the Mishnah in its calendar is already up to 15. It had 3 to open the gates, 12 special for Sukkos. And now we say, Teish l'tamid shel shachar, you have the 9 for the daily offering of the morning, Teisha the Tamech Ben Harbaim, 9 for the afternoon offering. V'teish l'musafin, you have 9 in total for all the musafim that are brought for Sukkos. Shalosh lahav til esa'a min amalacha, 3 to put people on notice that Shabbos is coming. And v'shalosh lahav til ben kodesh l'chol, and the final 3 on late Friday afternoon transitioning to Shabbos that say now Shabbos is here, and no more malacha. So a total of 21 every day, plus 9 for the Musaf is 30, plus 6 for Erev Shabbos, 36, plus 12 special for Sukkos, brings a total of 48. And just one final incredible point. Near the southern wall of the Har HaBayis, like where the Kotel is, that's the western wall, but now the southern wall, was found an inscription on a large stone which had fallen off from the top there, which says on it, Lebeis HaTakia, to the place of the trumpeting, which is indeed the place where they would stand during the time of the Beis HaMikdash and blow those trumpets. We have the artifact, which is pretty incredible. Today it's in the Israel Museum. If you're interested, you can just Google it, but I will also send around a picture, and for the website, I will try to attach a picture and the article, which you can see on Wikipedia, etc.